ॐ शुपादब्रह्मसपरिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशतश्रीश्रीमान् अभयशरणारविन्द भक्तिवेदान्तगोस्वामहाराज शीलप्रभुपादिति जयं नित्यनिदा प्रविष्टो विष्णुपाद परमहंसपरिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशतश्रीश्रीमान् भक्तसिद्धान्त सरस्वतीमहाराज शीलप्रभुपादिकि अनन्तकोटि वैष्णववृन्दकि नामाचार्यशील हरिदास ठाकुरकि प्रेम सहो श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादिगौर भक्तवृन्दकि श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्यामकुंड राधाकुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायपुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगमाई की यमुना माई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की गौर प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज श्री श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांग ऑल ग्लोरीज श्री श्रील प्रभुपाद नमाम शुभदाय कृष्ण प्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमति भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वदेवं गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशधारिणी ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय सो वी वर डिस्कसिंग दिस सूत्रम फ्रॉम द फिफ्थ सूत्र फ्रॉम नारद भक्ति सूत्रम रिगार्डिंग द पराभक्ति स्वरूपम पराभक्ति स्वरूपम मीन्स what is bhakti that's what we are discussing isn't it what is bhakti bhakti is not a very cheap thing as we understand bhakti is therefore Sri Narada Maharshi felt the need to write a separate sutram for about bhakti just like Vedavyas wrote for jnanis he wrote brahma sutram Patanjali Maharshi wrote yoga sutram for the yoga process ashtanga yoga system Similarly, Sri Narada Maharshi thought the necessity to write a separate book on bhakti. And that's how Narada Bhakti Sutram has come. And Sri Narada Maharshi, normally sutram means aphorisms in English they say, but condensed to form which can be expanded. Narada Maharshi had certain things in his mind when he wrote these things. He had certain things in his mind, which is obvious. When you write sutram, it is understood that there is certain things behind it. So those things are the realizations of the great devotees, their anubhavam, swanubhavam, their own experiences, their own realizations that has come, but it has been put into a codified form so that people don't misunderstand about bhakti. A lot of misunderstanding happens about bhakti. That's why this Bhakti Sutram has come into existence. Now, the interesting thing is that the subject is very vast and the time is too short. This is the biggest problem we have. We haven't got enough time to study not only Bhakti Sutram. Bhakti Sutram is nothing but Srimad Bhagavatam in another form. If you go through Bhakti Sutram, you will see most of the references, cross-references are towards Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. They are all together. Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, Narada Bhakti Sutram, they are all together. They are not separate in itself. But according to the realizations of these great acharyas, they have put themselves, their own realizations and experiences to us so that somehow or the other we stay in the path. So therefore, that is why we have different names, but the subject is more important. The name is not important, but the subject is more important. So when you read Srimad Bhagavatam, when you read Bhagavad Gita, when you read Narada Bhakti Sutram, you have to learn to extract the essence out of it. And that is the most difficult thing. Why? Because we are used to studying books in one particular way, isn't it? We study books verse by verse, we with color pen, we mark it, this is idea, this is important, that's not important. We make the decision, what's important, what's not important. When we study textbooks and in the college and all that, when you take a book and you start studying, what do? You mark certain things important, certain things you decide it's not important. But we can't do that in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam. Everything is important. The important thing is how to study them in such a way and to get out of this the message what is coming through. That's more important. And therefore, it is necessary, we have to, as Krishna says many times, particularly in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the process of hearing. Hearing has got such a powerful effect. Hearing is not easy. We think hearing is easy, we sit there and listen to everything. No, it's not that simple. Hearing process, what is discussed in the Srimad Bhagavatam, is quite complex. As you know, we talked about that in the Ekadasha Skandam also. In the 12th chapter of 11th canto, Krishna talks about their satsangam, the particular benefit of satsangam, and through satsangam, how one can develop bhakti. How bhakti comes, again, only through satsangam, Krishna says, bhakti develops, not by any other means. So, time is too short and the subject is very vast. It's so much that we have to discuss about bhakti and about the tattvam involved in all these things. So therefore, what I thought was the best thing to do is that we go through different texts related to Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam in a way that we get as much as possible covered through these things. So with this in mind, I have made a list of classes which I hope we'll be able to do it in this year and next year, 2011-2012, in these 2 years, covering various topics. And hopefully, if Krishna allows this to happen, it will happen. Otherwise, I don't know what will happen. So, because everything depends on so many things, isn't it? And one's own opportunity to come, opportunity to talk, and facilities, all that thing. So anyway, I have prepared this list, and perhaps you can keep a copy with you. And in course of time, I'm sure after a couple of years, if we hear these topics, what we are going to cover in this, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11 and 12. Canto 11 is a very big subject. It is impossible, I don't know when that will get finished, because as we go through Canto 11, more and more topics are to be spoken, because it's such an important canto in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Many devotees consider Canto 11 as the very cream of Bhagavatam, and they go by that. They just take that. Ekanath Swami wrote a specific commentary. He didn't comment about other things, particularly about Canto 11. Ekanath Swami wrote a commentary only on Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11. That such high was his realization from Canto 11. And many other devotees also, after studying Bhagavad Gita and the rest of Srimad Bhagavatam, when they were looking for something more, they found that in the Canto 11. What Krishna has not given to Arjuna even, he gave it to Uddhava. That was the beauty of this Ekadasha Skandam. That Arjuna even didn't get that mercy, what Uddhava got at the time of death. At the time of death, it is not easy. It's the most difficult time. When one after the other people around you are dropping off and you are still there and you still know that it's going to happen to you one day. In the youth it's difficult to get that. When you get older and when you see others dropping off one after the other and you also have to go from here, how should we face that situation? That is an important question. Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam is training us for that, to face that thing called death at the last moment. You can see how Parikshit Maharaj at the last minute became completely fearless in 7 days' time. That's what Sudeva Goswami expected from him, isn't it? He said, the person who came there to sat there listening, thinking that I'm going to die in 7 days' time, walks away from there happily saying that there is no such thing called death. How could this happen? How could such a thing happen? This is the success in spiritual life. And that is why in the many, many times, great sages have told us this one important point, that if you come to spiritual life, after coming to spiritual life, there's no looking back into material life again. That they say to us like this, if you have big plans in material life, if you have great things to achieve in this world, or if you have other plans to make it successful in this world, any other ideas, some people love fame, some people love wealth, some people love good health, so many different things, different desires inside. If you have all that, the sages are telling us, don't come to spiritual life. They tell us that openly. They don't come then. Because if you have all that things in your mind, you cannot enter into spiritual life. It is difficult. Why is it like that? Because once you come to spiritual life, it's a person who has finished with this material life, he is the one who is qualified for spiritual life. These two things, it's difficult to keep it together going. But because when you advance on the spiritual path, when you start realizing the truth, what is spoken, what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, there is no place there for material life. Then we may ask the question that can we not go into material life and after some time can we not come back and start the spiritual life? The answer from the sages for that is, yes, if you want to go to material life, you can go back, but we can't tell you what will happen to you after that, whether you will come back or whether you will go once for all away from this, from spiritual life. This is first answer. And if you want to come back later on, it may or may not happen. That answer we can't give you. Sages tell us this. You know, Upanishads and all, this is very clearly spoken. They tell us, we can't tell you whether you will come back or not. We don't know about that. Right now, our advice is this. Take to it seriously if you want to, provided you have no other plans in this world. If you have any other plans, they say, go fulfill all that plans and then come to spiritual life. That's how they put it, very bluntly about that. Because it is a subject like that where one understands the importance of spiritual life and never again to go back to material life again. If it is happening like that, because if people come to spiritual life with some desires, so many different kinds of desires, and it will all end up in a big catastrophe later in different ways. So, that with that in mind, I was just mentioning that Bhagavadam, Canto 11 and Canto 12. These three cantos are important. 10, 11 and 12 are very important in the Bhagavadam. Why? Because it's all about Krishna. It's all about Krishna. Particularly in the middle of that is 11, between 10, 11 and 12. 11 is the middle where Krishna is talking to Uddhava that this is the final truth, Uddhava. There is nothing more than this. And he tells that and he closes the chapter there. You can see all that in the 11th canto. He talks to Uddhava and after says to Uddhava, Uddhava, this is it. If you got there, then that's it. There is nothing more to Padavyam Avashishyade. It says there is nothing to drink after that. That's it. That's where you are. So, having spoken that, Canto 12 talks about that. Is there anything after liberation? Canto 11 talks about liberation, isn't it? Mainly about liberation, liberated state. What is it like? That's what it's talking about. So in Canto 12, Krishna says, Sudha Goswami says there is something after liberation, and that is bhakti. So you can see the state of bhakti, what it is talked about. Bhakti, we take it as though it's a very simple process. We all agree with that. Bhakti is a simple process. Because it's so simple, that's the most difficult also. Equally difficult to understand what is bhakti means. Misunderstanding will come from all sides. Anyway, so Canto 10, Canto 11, Canto 12, three cantos, important cantos. Some devotees, very advanced souls, they consider Canto 10 as important, more than Canto 11 and Canto 12. Why? Because it is in Canto 10 that Krishna has actually performed all the pastimes in order to pull us towards Him. The Canto 10 pastimes are famous, isn't it? Bali Lila, the childhood pastimes. Then the pastimes in the youth, pastimes in with the advanced devotees like Sudama, Shudagirti, Bahulashu and all that. All this comes in the Canto 10. And in Canto 10 also you hear that the Vedas personified glorifying Krishna, which is a very extended subject, that is very cream of the Upanishad's knowledge, what is there in the Shruti Gita. Shruti Gita is called personified Vedas prayers to Krishna. So, that is one, Shruti Gita is one, then the Chadishlogi Bhagavadam, which is the four key verses in the Bhagavadam. You may wonder sometimes, Brahma was given these four verses. Krishna gave these four verses, isn't it? And told Brahma, you just follow these four verses, you'll be covered, you're insured for the rest of your life, he says to Brahma. And in spite of all that, Brahma had difficulties. Brahma had difficulty. So Brahma at one point says there, if we discussed this in the 13th chapter in the Ekadasha Skandam when we studied Hamsa Gita, there Brahma also fell into a difficult situation, isn't it? Crisis he fell into. He could not answer the question when the four Kumaras asked that question, that the sense objects and the senses, how do you separate them? This was the question, if you remember. And he could not answer that question. He also got confused. How do we do that, he said. So Brahma is a jnani. Don't think that Brahma is anyway less than any other great soul. But even Brahma, he fell into that soul. And the reason for that is given is that karma dhi. He says he was engaged in karmam because of that. Imagine that. How much karmam damages people. We think that continuously doing karmam in this world is the whole success of life, isn't it? And some people never get tired of karmam. They keep on doing it 80, 90, still they are looking for more karmam to perform. But Brahma is saying there that because of engaging in karmam for a moment, he could not answer that question to the Kumaras. Answer that question to the Kumaras. That's when Krishna had to come as Hamsarupam and spoke about the what is known as Hamsa Gita in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Hamsa Gita is there, Shruti Gita is there in the Bhagavatam. These are all the cream of Bhagavatam, where the philosophical and proper understanding of the Tattvam is spoken. Shruti Gita and Hamsa Gita. What else? The Chadishlogi, the four verses. How Brahma was given these instructions on these four verses and how important those verses are in the Bhagavatam is difficult to say. It is so difficult to explain that because it is those through verses Krishna has condensed everything, Srimad Bhagavatam completely into those four verses and told Brahma, you follow this. We can also read those verses, but it doesn't have any impact on us. Why? Because Brahma, when he really received that knowledge, Krishna was sitting in the heart of Brahma and hearing this. What Krishna was speaking? And Krishna was sitting in the heart of Brahma and listening. Kasmai yena vibhasitoyam adulo jnana pradipa pura. Jnana pradipam. That jnanam, that knowledge was coming from Krishna to Brahma's heart. And Krishna was hearing that. Pradipa pura tadruvena janaradaya munaye krishnaya tadruvina. And again, from Brahma's heart, sitting in Brahma's heart, Krishna spoke Srimad Bhagavatam. And sitting in Srinarada Maharshi's heart, Krishna heard Srimad Bhagavatam. So the chain is Krishna who is transmitting the message all the way through everybody. And when Krishna wants, the same message will come to us also. Till Krishna wants, it's not going to happen. It will never happen till then. We can keep on hearing. But when will Krishna want that to happen? When the mind, intelligence, ego, senses all withdraw from our side and the heart is open to Krishna. At that time, Krishna listens freely and accepts it. So, that is another topic what we have to discuss. Shruti Gita, Chadishlogi Bhagavatam, and the four key verses in the Bhagavatam. Then then what we have talked about before is the Canto 10, 11 and 12. So 10 and 11 and 12 will continue as we are planning to do in Adi Manor. And rest of them we have to find somewhere and get going, these things. And in addition to that, we also got Bhakti Sutram and plus Ishavanishad. Ishavanishad is something very important. There's only 18 verses there. But you can see the sage's mind coming through those 18 verses. And you will also notice there, what is spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam is non-different from what is in the Ishavanishad. Nowadays we study Ishavanishad. Oh, it's another book we have to study for the course. That's how we say it. And we study that book separately. And we read a lot of things, hear a lot of things. And then we see that this says something else. There's no connection between Bhagavad Gita, Ishavanishad and Bhagavatam and all. They're all connected to each other. The message is important, but different sages have spoken in different ways. But when you start getting absorbed in that, you will realize it. The message is one. There's no two messages. The message is one. What is that? The importance of the soul. To tell us, all this is spoken to tell us only one thing, there is no such thing called death. Death is something that is our, in our illusion state, in the state of Maya, what we have accepted as thing called death. And that is difficult to throw away from our mind, because that's the only thing you have learned whole life about death. They have taught us, isn't it? One way to forget about death is not to look into that, completely keep out of it, and keep life enjoying life as much as possible, not to bother about the death. But that is like the rabbit closing the eye. You know, when you drive in the night, when the rabbits cross the road, if you look at them, they keep their eyes closed. They say there's no danger. They think like that. And they close their eyes. Similarly, death is like the headlights from the car. It's there in front of us, and we keep our eyes closed like the rabbit, as though it doesn't exist. But that's the most important thing. Everything else in this world will come and go. There is no value. And this is the only message sages want to teach us, to prepare us for the death, like Sudeva Goswami did with Parikshit, Krishna did with Uddhava. Uddhava, while leaving Krishna, at the moment, how joyful he was, knowing very well that he was going away from Krishna. Still he was very joyful at the end. How did that joy happen? Because by now realization has come to him. By Krishna's mercy it has happened. And that's why it is important. So we have Ishvaranishad. Then above all, we need to study Bhagavad Gita in depth. There is no substitute for that. This is our key literature, Bhagavad Gita. What Krishna has spoken to Arjuna. There is no other literature for anyone who comes to spiritual life except Bhagavad Gita is the most important literature. Because Bhagavad Gita, the speciality with Bhagavad Gita is straight knowledge. Knowledge about the soul. There is no other topic discussed there. Other religions or other kind of subjects, material subjects. There is no discussion at all in the Bhagavad Gita. Even in the Srimad Bhagavatam you will find talk about marriage. Like Rukmini got married to Krishna, Satyavati married, Jambavati married, so many other material topics which attracts people. A lot of people are interested in marriages, isn't it? They attend day after day after day all the marriages in the world and they keep themselves busy like that. So marriage is an important thing, attracts the conditioned soul very easily. And when they see the arrangements of the marriage and all, they want to find out what all happened in the marriage, who all came, who all didn't come, what clothes they wore, what jewelry they wore. This is usual topic discussed in all the marriages, isn't it? That's all, nothing else happens, and the big feast after that. And so this way marriage and all things are done. But in Bhagavad Gita, there is no discussion about marriage. Have you noticed? There is no marriage discussion. Nor there is any discussion about any other topic, except the only topic Krishna has to talk about is the soul. Is the soul. How to leave this body and what happens after death and what's our life in this world. It's a whole science that's discussed in the Bhagavad Gita. So Bhagavad Gita, anyone who has come to spiritual life, for him Bhagavad Gita is the key book, key literature. So that we have to discuss. We have discussed 2nd chapter, 3rd chapter, 4th chapter, 5th chapter, and now we are discussing the 6th chapter in the manner. And as soon as that's finished, we'll go into the 7th chapter, and we come to continue after that, the remaining chapters also. So when you complete Bhagavad Gita, you will notice that this Bhagavad Gita is not as simple as we thought. It is simple, but it is not that simple. There is a whole philosophy behind Bhagavad Gita, and even after hearing all this, a great devotee like Arjuna, he fell into the illusion again. Isn't it? You know that story. 2-3 instances in the Bhagavatam, Krishna mentions that. When the Brahmana, Sandana Gopalam story, who had the 10 children, their time after even after hearing Bhagavad Gita from Krishna he has heard Bhagavad Gita, in spite of that he fell into the illusion that he can do, he can manage things without Krishna's help, isn't it? So in that process he decided to protect the Brahmana's children, and he gave this promise to the Brahmana that I'll make sure that your 10th child will be protected. So 1, 2, 3, like that goes. Brahmana used to come to Dwaraka, complain about that to Krishna and Balaram. They never used to bother. And Arjuna was sitting there one day and he heard this and he says, "Is there no Kshatriyas in this place?" he says. That was Arjuna's answer. And Krishna was smiling, sitting in another chair. Krishna smiled, hearing the statement from Arjuna, that when he said, "There is no Kshatriyas in this place." And seeing Krishna's quiet, being quiet about it, Balaram being quiet about it, Arjuna decided to take it upon himself. And eventually you know what that story is in the Bhagavatam. So at that point later on, when Krishna was saved from Arjuna jumping into the fire, Arjuna had to jump into the fire at the end, and because he couldn't do anything about it, Brahmana started making fun of him and called him some words, which is, "Are you a eunuch?" he says to Arjuna. And Arjuna couldn't bear that. A personality who has conquered the world, he couldn't bear these words from Brahmana. So he decided to jump into the fire. He was going to jump into the fire. At that time, Krishna comes and holds him and pulls him back. And Krishna took him to Vaikuntham. All that story is in the Bhagavatam. And their journey to Vaikuntham, Mahavishnu meets them. The 9 children were there. They were brought back and handed over to the Brahmana. So after this incident, there is a statement from Arjuna in the Srimad Bhagavatam. You have to very carefully note that statement. Arjuna says there, "Evam Krishnanu Gambidam." If Krishna is not there, you can't do anything in this world. Nothing you can do in this world without Krishna's backing from behind. If anything is happening in this world, it's only because of Krishna's presence in this world. In us, in other living entities, in everyone. Everything is happening because behind that is Krishna. Mene Krishnanu Gambidam, he says there. So, in that way, Arjuna, after that incident, next day morning, Krishna saw Arjuna was sitting near the temple tank and sitting there and start reading Dharma Kshetre, Kuru Kshetre. Starts again Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna felt that he did not take Bhagavad Gita seriously. Otherwise, that illusion may not have happened to him. So, that is one incident. Secondly, after Krishna left this planet and everybody gone, Arjuna was instructed to take all the queens to Hastinapur. So Arjuna accompanied all the wives of Krishna's 16,100 wives back to Hastinapur. He was taking them there. On the way, some cowherd boys came and fought with Arjuna and beat him. They frightened him so much, he ran away from there. Arjuna had to run away. Got frightened with these cowherd boys and he had to run away from there. Then Arjuna goes back and sees Yudhishthira Maharaj and reports to him what has happened. And there also in the Bhagavatam, if you look, you will find there, Arjuna was thinking, why did this happen to me? After all, I heard Bhagavad Gita from Krishna, and why this fear has come to me? This was in his mind. And then he goes back to Bhagavad Gita again. So these two instances, there's very clear statements in the Bhagavatam where Arjuna had gone back to Bhagavad Gita for his shelter in two instances in the Bhagavatam. So this is the thing, what we are saying is that Bhagavad Gita is something which you can never keep away. You have to keep that with you. You cannot forget about that. So all these books, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ishopanishad, and the topics like Chadashlogi Bhagavatam, and Shruti Gita, and also Ishopanishad, Bhakti Sutram, they are all together. They are presenting one comprehensive understanding of the truth, In addition to that, we have also got special topics in the Srimad Bhagavatam. As I mentioned so many times before, the different glorifications. They are all presenting the truth to us properly. If you understand these things, it is no point thinking about Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam just like a story. Or like hearing, I've heard all these stories before. No, it's a lot more. Story is nothing. That story is there. In the end of Bhagavatam, you will see a verse there. Katha imam ste kadidam mahiyasam vijnana vairagya vivakshaya vibhom vajo vibhodirnadu paramarthyam. In the 12th canto, in the 5th chapter, you will see a verse there. Katha imam ste kadidam mahiyasam, he says there. Sudeva Goswami is saying, I have spoken all these stories not with the idea that you should be simply listening to these stories. Why? The purpose was Vijnana Vairagya Vivakshaya Vibhom. Vijnanam should be there, Vairagyam should be there at the end. If that has not happened, all these stories have no significance more than that. Vijnana Vairagya Vivakshaya Vibho. Then what else he says? Vajo Vibhudir Nadu Paramarthyam. That they are Vibhudis. Krishna's, all these kings, what you signed in Bhagavadam is history of all the great personalities, isn't it? Great kings, Ambarish Maharaj and Nabhaga and the whole Surya Vamsham. Solar dynasty is discussed there, isn't it? And similarly, lunar dynasty also. 13 chapter solar dynasty and 11 chapters lunar dynasty in the Bhagavadam. And then you have also got up to that point, that is still 9th canto, nothing but the history of all the great personalities who ruled the planet before. Chitraketu, Angiras, and Dashaprajapati, starting from the creation onwards. So many things discussed there. Only great people. Ordinary people, nobody bothers, isn't it? They just... If you start, then Bhagavadam gets bigger. But big devotees and big kings, it's their history that's spoken in the Bhagavadam. So after saying all that things in the Srimad Bhagavadam, at the very end, Sudeva Goswami is saying, Katha imamste kathidam mahiyasam. I have spoken all these things only with one intention. The stories I have spoken. What is that? Vijnana vairagya vivakshaya vibho. Vijnanam and vairagya must come to a person. And knowledge and realization must happen to him. Otherwise, it's all just katha only. It goes like we say katha. Katha comes and katha goes. Najo vajo vibhudir. All this vibhuti. Vibhuti means this opulences is all in relationship with that. Nadu param arthyam. Don't take that itself as the absolute thing, he says. Don't take all that as absolute without understanding the truth behind it. So, to speak Srimad Bhagavatam Bhagavad Gita in depth and to get this truth across to the other side, otherwise one is not going to become serious about it. He will simply think, he will try to understand it with the mind and the intelligence. And then he will come to some conclusions of his own and he will say, I've heard all these things before. Now I'll continue with my life as I lived before. These conclusions will come at the end. This is why it's so important that whenever Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita is spoken, it's important to get the tattvam across to the other person. Tattvam should be understood. Otherwise, Bhagavatam has got so much to offer. Through 18,000 verses, whole life you can talk from Srimad Bhagavatam. That is so wide the topic is. And devotees who have taken different things from the Bhagavatam and how they realized it. Like Vilumangalam took from Bhagavatam childhood pastimes and the truth associated with that and they realized it. And many other devotees, somebody took Ekadasha Skandam and realized it. Somebody took Prithu Maharaj's story in the Bhagavatam and took it to the heart and realized the truth. Somebody took Bhishma's prayers, took to the heart and realized it. Somebody took Kunti Devi's prayers, took it to the heart, studied it, understood it and realized it and gone ahead in that. Simply by studying Kunti Devi's prayers. So which one will suit whom is difficult to say. That's up to the individual. He has to keep on studying. Somewhere he will find some shelter, serious shelter. Serious shelter, so that at the time of death, all these misconceptions, we call it as misapprehensions about body, about this life, this goes away from us. We have complete illusion at the moment, thinking that this life is permanent, this life is more important, this body is more important, I'm this body, I'm this mind, I'm this intelligence. It doesn't leave us. Even if it wants to, theoretically we learn that we are not this body, but it's not leaving us. The conception is not. The moment we leave this room, the whole thing comes back again. Isn't it? So that is why it is so important to study Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam in the background of all these great devotees' realizations. Similarly, there is another topic. There is a lot of many topics like that. We'll try to finish little by little as much as time allows us to do. That's why I was saying the topic is very big and the time is very short. That's our limitation, our restrictions. Kapila Maharshi spoke Kapilam, isn't it? You know what Kapilam is. Kapilam is the Kapila Maharshi's teachings of Lord Kapila. That is called Kapilam. In Shastram, it's called Kapilam. Why Kapilam is important is, it is in Kapilam that Kapila Maharshi appeared long before Krishna appeared now. Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago. Kapila Maharshi appeared long, long before that. And Kapila Maharshi, many acharyas are saying, belongs to Western world. And we say that Kapila Maharshi's ashram existed in the northeast, this is the Assam area. That is where Kapilashramam existed, but Kapila Maharshi performed penances in America. This is the conclusion of some great authorities. So it's not something I have found out. I have read this from other great acharyas, and they say that is the place where where Sagara Maharshi's children went there, isn't it, for Ganga River, to looking for the horse which was lost before the sacrifice was stolen, and they found the horse there in Kapilaranyam. And it is that Kapilaranyam which has come as California now. The name California has come from Kapilaranyam. There is a lot of support for that argument. And have you noticed one thing? Kapila Maharshi in the Bhagavatam, if you look at Kapila Maharshi's picture, he looks more like a Western devotee. He's a sage. The picture is drawn because based on the description of Kapila Maharshi, it is like that. That he comes from, he lived, spent a lot of time in California during his penances there. Obviously, those days, that we are talking about many, many thousands of years, millions probably, because at one time the earthly planet, as geologists say, that at one time most of the continents were together. Then they got broken and moved away in different places, like they tried to fit in Africa with the Asia and Australia with part of Asia, like that. They try to say that at one time. Nobody knows all these things enough. But anyway, there is all this. So this Kapila Maharshi appeared in this world with one intention. His intention, if you look into Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find that the knowledge of spiritual knowledge to start with, to give a strong push for spiritual realization in this world. And that's why Kapilam in Bhagavatam, verses chapter 25 to 33 in the third canto, is a very important topic. If you study that Kapilam, it gives you a lot of understanding about the transmigration of the soul and about the various processes, comparing Jnanam, Bhakti, Yogam, everything is compared. And also you will see the instructions to Kapila Maharshi giving instructions to his father Kardama Prajapati and to his mother Devahuti Devi, a proper son, how he acted with father and the mother. So many things to learn from that. Kapilam is a very important topic, and many people study, and it's exactly that is the reason why Srila Prabhupada put this as a separate book, Teachings of Lord Kapila, separately written. But to understand Kapilam requires a lot of effort. It is a very big topic, Kapila Maharshi's. And if you know the whole history of Sangyam, why? Sangyam, out of the six processes of Vedic knowledge, Sangyam, Nyayam, Yogam, Vaisheshikam, Purva Mimamsa, Uttara Mimamsa. These are the six sections of the Vedic philosophy. In that, Sangyam is one of the most important one. Why is it so important? Because Sangyam is knowledge. Sangyam is pure knowledge. That is Sangyam. And there is not a lot of differences between Vedavyasa Maharshi's Vedantam and Kapila Maharshi's Sangyam. They are very close. There is very little difference between many things. What Kapila Maharshi has spoken is what Vedavyasa is saying in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. It's very close. That's why Vedavyas took Sangyam into Bhagavatam. You can see Sangya Yogam is what is discussed in that Kapilam. Not only that, in Bhagavad Gita also, Vedavyas brings in Kapila Maharshi there in the second chapter. Whole of second chapter, if you read, majority of it is Sangyam. Majority of it is Sangyam. So Sangyam is a very important part of the Vedic tradition. And that is what is the most of the knowledges. Like in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that he appeared in this world for one reason. That, what did he say there? He said, Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha dushkritam dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. He says, appeared for, when dharmam declines, I come, he says, and I establish religious principles. And in that process, he had to kill the demons. He had to have the Mahabharata war fought. And he had to please the devotees. So many things he did. Kapila Maharshi's case, nothing else happened. Like that happened. He simply came to speak the knowledge, the truth. So therefore, different appearances are for different purposes. Appearance of Kapila Maharshi was for this reason. Krishna's appearance was for some other reason, different reasons. So, keeping all these things in mind, we also have a lot to cover. Kabila and all, if you have to discuss, it will take probably a few years to understand Kabila Maharshi's each verse and study, start analyzing it. It will take a lot of time. But it is necessary. It cannot be, we can remain as we are without bothering about all these things. Not worrying, why should we here? I got enough now material. And even this I can't do it. This is a negative thought. Why? The more you hear, you don't know when this will hit you. It will hit you one day. Somewhere it will hit you. When that will happen, you cannot say that. Somewhere, something according to your vasanas inside, according to your state of mind, you will find attracted to some of these, something in this whole series of sages have given us so much. Otherwise, they could have given us one book and Bhagavad Gita and told us, no, that's enough. You studied this book. All others, you can't manage it. So I'm not going to give you another. No, they didn't do that. They gave us enough. So that we absorb enough time in all this literature and keep ourselves absorbed in that, because it is from them that dhyanam comes, meditation comes. Our mind, which is very negative in many ways, needs to be drilled through very strongly. And that drilling process is shravanam. Drilling process is shravanam. Then, of course, we have instructions from Ramachandra and Vasishtha. Vasishtha's instructions to Ramachandra. Now, these two personalities, Krishna and Rama, both of them have, they are the pillars in the Vedic tradition, isn't it? It is centered around them, all worship, everything goes on. And so therefore, what they have given to this world is something which is requires a lot of attention from a devotee or a person who is trying to advance in the spiritual path. Both of them were perfect examples in many ways. Ramachandra was full of knowledge through Vasishtha Maharshi's instructions. Isn't it? Vasishtha Maharshi's instructions, Ramachandra was full of knowledge. And Krishna showed us how to live practically in this world in that consciousness. In the consciousness, how to live in this world and deal with this world, at the same time make the progress in the spiritual path. That's why Bhagavata Dharmam is so important. Bhagavata Dharmam, what we study in the Srimad Bhagavatam, is Krishna's introduction to this world. Although Bhagavad Gita was spoken in the Varnashrama Dharmam basis, when you come to Srimad Bhagavatam, you find that even Srinarada Maharshi and Vedavyas conversation, if you read, you will see Vedavyas is acknowledging that this dharmam is a very complex thing. Easily it's not understood by people very easily. What is dharmam in one place may be adharmam in another place. That also you can see, isn't it? So dharmam is very difficult to understand, just like karmam. Karmam, difficult to say what's the reaction of the karma, nobody knows. Gahana karmano gadi, Krishna says like that. So, because of that, after writing Mahabharatam, Vedavyas still felt that something is missing. I haven't given to the people what they actually need, rather than keep on telling them about dharmam. Sages are also telling us, if you come to spiritual life, if you want just some moral instructions, then don't waste your time, don't worry about morality, go and do what you want in this world. That's their instructions to us. Don't come to religion and spiritual life just for the sake of some moral instructions, so that you can stay on the moral platform. That's no use. That's why they are insisting that you take the message much more seriously. So, this literature discussion between Vasishtha and Sri Ramachandra, that is in the book known as Yoga Vasishtham. So, Yoga Vasishtham is a part of Ramayanam. It's not separate. 24,000 verses for Ramakatha is 24,000 verses. And 32,000 verses is instructions of Yoga Vasishtham. So, where is the importance? We consider this 24,000 verses everything, isn't it? But Yoga Vasishtham is one of the key literature in the philosophy of Vedantam. So, 32,000 verses, that's an important book. We have a lot to talk and we have a lot to cover. We have time is very, very limited. So, I have prepared a list here with all this and some plans for the future. Whether it will happen or not, that is in Krishna's hands. And if that happens, it happens. So, Naveen, could you give a copy to everybody, please? Just you can do it to everyone. So, yeah, I mean, I just planned it like that. We'll see how we can. It is all subject to, we can change, and subject to change, and also timings and all we have to discuss later. We'll see. As someone comes here. Of course, yeah, that is, Anup came up with this idea that there's a lot of people in Bracknell who would like to hear Narayaniyam. So I said, yes, we will try to do it at some point in time. When time happens, we get that opportunity to do it. So, we got enough copies, or do you want more? You have enough? Yeah? Do you want more? Oh, you have enough, yeah, okay. 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 So, thanks. Yeah. So, as I said, we will continue with Canto 11 and 12 of the manor, and Bhagavatam Canto 10 we have planned for July next year, isn't it? We have planned 18th of July for 2 weeks, and Bhakti Sutram we are doing now at the moment. Hopefully we'll continue with that, and sometime when we finish Bhakti Sutram we'll start Ishobanishad. When we finish Bhakti Sutram we'll start Ishobanishad. Then Bhagavad Gita and Chatushloki Bhagavatam will continue at Suniti's place sometime when we get that time, when we all, when you all have that, I have the time, but when you all have the time, sorry I have to say like that because I have got the time, but you may or may not have the time. So when you feel that you can have the time, then we can start that.
Morning.
Yeah, morning classes, yeah. There.
Because we're very close to finishing chapter 6.
Yeah, that's right. And then we'll start 7 at a time.
But probably. We'll continue with Canto 11 after...
Oh yeah. We'll continue with Canto 11 and 12. Yeah, 7 in the morning. Yeah. And other chapters also we have to do. And I thought Shruti Gita and Yoga Vasishtam we'll do at Anil's, if Anil let us do it. So, those two things I thought of keeping it at Stanmore so that nobody feel burdened too much with everybody's presence. So, we'll start that sometime later when we have a little bit weather conditions are better. And then, teachings of Lord Kapila also we could do in Stanmore. So, I just put a brief plan saying that all this we have to do at some point in time. And it all depends on how much time you can find and how much time we can discuss these things. Because if you understand all these things, then there is no question of going back from spiritual life. All these basic questions, like we approach Bhagavatam, trying to find out, trying to understand like a history and learn from Bhagavatam, is this all, when did this happen? Somebody asked a question the other day saying that, they said Kamsa was a real fool, he says. This is why, he says, you know, if he was a little intelligent, he decided to lock up Vasudeva and Devaki. Why did he not put them separate cells instead of putting in one cell? This was his doubt. So if you study Bhagavad Gita like this and Bhagavatam like this, such questions will come from people. You know, they'll ask such questions. They say, why should they? Why he could? We could have separated them because they were together only because of that. He had to worry about the eighth child. He got confused. Who is the eighth child? Who is the seventh child? And all these problems have happened because he put them together in one cell. Instead, he should have put them separately. That shows that he's not very intelligent, he says. So things like that, people will read Bhagavatam and come to this kind of doubts in their mind. So what to do? So, but that is not what Bhagavatam is going to tell us. Bhagavatam is telling us something more than all these things. That people study Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam with this kind of mind. That's the point I'm making. So, but the message is very grave, very, very heavy. It is the message. And realized souls who have realized the truth from Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, they have also given their realizations. And only through those realizations you understand the gravity of the message, the seriousness of the whole thing. And that's why I'm saying that we have to find time. Okay, right at this point in time, because of the bad weather and all, we will give some time till the weather gets better. And we get better, and we will try to start as much as we can. So, let's now go back to our important topic, which is Bhakti Sutra, Narada Bhakti Sutra. As I mentioned before, Sridharada Maharshi found the necessity to write the Sutram, Bhakti Sutram. And we saw there last Sutram, he says, Yal prapya na kinchid vanchadi na shochadi na dveshti na ramate na ulsahi bhavadi. This is one of the symptoms of Bhakti. As I said before, when we are studying these Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhakti Sutram and all, you must also make it a habit to refer to the book. If possible, bring them to when you come for the classes. If not possible, there is one handicap, is all our Bhagavatam is in 4 or 5 different volumes, isn't it? The recent publication from BBT is in 4 or 5 volumes, isn't it? In thick volumes. Previously, the old publications were about 48 volumes. So, the difficulty with that is, when you are cross-referenced from Bhakti Sutram or Bhagavad Gita to Bhagavatam, you can't bring all the 48 books here every time when you come. That's not practical. We don't have a publication of one Bhagavatam available at the moment. Long ago, Hansadutta, who was in Ishkon at that time, he published one volume for 10 cantos. When Srila Prabhupada finished the 9 cantos and 10th canto, he wrote Krishna book and presented. He joined all these things, the 9 cantos and the 10th Krishna book, and published as one volume Srimad Bhagavatam. That you may have seen, some of you may have seen that. I don't think that's available today in the market. What we have today is 4 or 5 volumes of Srimad Bhagavatam. And I know it is difficult to bring all the Bhagavatams all the time, because Bhagavatam, when you study, you have to keep in your mind the whole Bhagavatam all the time. Otherwise, it's not that one verse I study, I only refer to that particular verse. That verse has a lot to do with previous history and the later on what is spoken in the Bhagavatam. That's why Bhagavatam is the history of the devotees, isn't it? One devotee realizes one thing, another devotee realizes in another way. But there is something in common between the devotees also. Kunti Devi, Bhishma, Vritrasura, Gopis, Uddhava, Parikshit, they all have something in common with them, isn't it? So in order to understand that common nature among them, you have to study their prayers. Bhishma Stuti, Kunti Stuti, Gopis, Gopika Gitam, all these have to be studied together. Sometimes you can cross-reference between one study to another person's study, and you can see the commonality between their realizations. And that will inspire us to see that this is the way to go, that you will get that understanding from them. Therefore, it's necessary to have Bhagavatam with you all the time to tell you the truth. All the time, the more you have Bhagavatam, because whenever we are referring something to prayers from, say, Vasudev or Devaki, or prayers from Gopis, you will see there is a link there between them. When Sukadeva Goswami is speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, he is not talking as though he is speaking history. You should not misunderstand like that. Oh, Krishna Surya Goswami thought in his mind, let me speak Srimad Bhagavatam. This happened so many years ago after this. Like the way we present on a chronological order, isn't it? We present in a, like we study history. That's how we study history. Between 1500 to 1600, 1600 to 1700, 1700, 1800, 19th century, 20th century, 21st century, what happened? That's how we write the history. That is history. But Bhagavatam is not simply history. If you take Bhagavatam as a history, you'll be lost. It will be complete chaos in the Bhagavatam. That's not history. Bhagavatam is actually the realizations of these devotees, which are all linked together. And to study them, you need the book. Because we will be referring to different devotee statements, and you can see the connection there when you look at the verses. That's when you get that clicking. You'll get the click at that moment. But if you can't bring Bhagavatam, it is too difficult to bring it. At least when you go back, whenever whatever we have spoken, those verses, you should go back and read them in the Bhagavatam and see the profound message, what that verses are talking about. Because when the acharyas have commented on the Srimad Bhagavatam, they have commented it like that. They didn't comment it like verse by verse. They were always linking one verse to another, or one canto to another canto, one chapter to another chapter. That's how they have spoken about Srimad Bhagavatam. And there are many things in the Bhagavatam which requires a lot of explanation also. Just like we have seen now, so 2-3 years now we have spoken Ekadasha Skandam, isn't it? Some of you have, something must have understood from that, I'm sure, if not everything. But you have seen the depth of that canto, how deep the subject is and how much change is necessary within ourselves to grasp that message properly. How difficult it is, isn't it? Particularly, you notice that Krishna is instructing to Uddhava from chapter 7 onwards. And within a few verses, Krishna spoke what he has to say to Uddhava. Uddhava heard that, and Uddhava could not get the proper understanding. It is then that Uddhava started questions, and Krishna started answering further. And again, Uddhava's doubts, Krishna is answering. But different times, if you observe, you will notice there that Krishna's answers to Uddhava was always on a different plane altogether. Always on a different plane. Uddhava is asking from one plane, Krishna is answering from another plane. And a person who is asking the questions and the person who is answering, if they are not on the same plane, the message will not get properly transmitted. That's why keeps doubts coming back in original Uddhava's mind. And that's why Uddhava keeps asking, you have said all these things to me, it's not possible for me. Uddhava says that to Krishna. How complex spiritual life is. We think it's an easy affair, isn't it? But when you get deeper into it, only then you can appreciate that not one lifetime, millions of lifetime is necessary to get somewhere in spiritual life. That is the reality. I'm not saying this to make life difficult, because we have been told life is so easy, spiritual life. It's all question of 16 rounds and 4 regulative principles and back to Golokam. That's what we are all thinking like that, isn't it? If it was like that, so many people would have gone back. But the fact that population is increasing shows that many are not going back. They're all coming back, actually. The more coming back, the more going back. So it's not so simple. It's not so simple. So one person said that the one reason for population increasing is that, Prabhupada also said this, I think, once, that not many are going back, he said. Not many are going back. Everybody is staying back here, increasing the burden of the world. That's when Bhumi Devi had to complain about us. So, anyway, what I was saying that was that these things in the Srimad Bhagavatam and similarly in the Bhagavad Gita, requires time, and therefore the books. Books are given to us for this purpose. And reading them and understanding, you have to get some connection with the book. With not to think that, oh, I haven't studied Sanskrit, I haven't read this before, I've only read in translation purport. Maybe so, but Sanskrit is not a language that it has to be ignored totally. The verses are there, translation is there, purport is there. And sometimes detailed explanations, what we talk about, that you should go back and refer to those verses and stay in your mind. That's important. Only when there is doubt in the mind, you should have been able to refer to those verses. So that's why it's important. So one more point I just wanted to mention that here. In
Gita Press, I think
two. Yeah, there is. Yeah, I think there is Gita Press volume. I think I saw with this Gita Press volume, isn't it? In two volumes, is it? Yeah, like that.
Sanskrit is one.
Mm-hmm.
Sanskrit is one.
In one book, yeah. But we need something in English also.
They do it in English.
Have they?
Yeah.
Do they?
Okay, then. So I've got a two books, all of Sanskrit in English.
Uh huh.
How many is that sufficient at least to bring it?
Something like that, yeah. Okay. So that you know where it is coming from. Otherwise, I'm taking all this effort to read through Bhagavatam so many times, and I'm finding certain interesting things in the Bhagavatam. So, in order that you feel that, the importance of those verses, at least you should know where it is, isn't it?
Or when bring that talk with the
Vedavis. Yeah, so whichever way you like it, you can look at it and see that verses, what it is. Because I mentioned many times before that this stuti or glorifications in the Bhagavatam is an opportunity for Sukadeva Goswami to talk to us. That's opportunity he has got to talk to us. Otherwise, he's just talking the story, isn't it? He's just talking the story to Parikshit, various things. About Bhumandala, fifth canto, talks about the whole creation, how this different Jambudvipam and Kradamala and all other different Varshas, Kimbirusha Varsha, all these different kinds of things he has spoken. But the only opportunity Sukadeva Goswami gets to talk to us directly is through these glorifications. That's where he gets the point across to us. So if the glorifications are not understood well, you won't find Bhagavatam taking you very far, because that's where the cream is. The cream is in that Bhishma Stuti, Kundi Stuti. That's why all Kabilam, like there's mentioned about Kabilam, Rukmini's message to Brahmana, all these are places where Sukadeva Goswami comes forward and tells us certain things, important things. So it's an important thing to have the books also. So, in the fifth sutram, Narada Bhakti Sutram, we saw, Yal prapya na kinchit vanchati, na shochati, na dveshti, na ramate, na utsahi bhavati. After devotion has developed in a person's heart, that he does not get affected by hankering and lamentation anymore. If there is devotion in the heart, and he does not offend anyone, he does not create any hate towards anyone, and never gets excited about anything. Because I mentioned before, ragadvesham creates excitement. Isn't it? When you have attachment to something, it creates excitement. When you have aversion to something, it creates excitement. So excitement is nothing but ragadvesham is not bhakti. Ragadvesham is not bhakti. So his nature, when proper bhakti has developed in a person's heart, these are the way to understand what is bhakti. Brahma Buddha Prasannatma na shojadi na kankshadi. Sama sarveshu bhudeshu madbhaktim libhade param. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? What does that mean? It means this, that after you come to Brahma Buddha stage, na shojadi na kankshadi, you're not asking, you're not lamenting about anything, you're not hankering about anything. And sama sarveshu bhudeshu, you're always aware that all living entities is Krishna's manifestation. Now, sama sarveshu bhudeshu mad bhaktim labhade param, Krishna says there. That is para bhakti stage, that you have come to the proper platform of bhakti. That's when. That means sama sarveshu bhudeshu mad bhaktim labhade param. All living entities, you will have to see Krishna is present in that form, in that person, and pay your respects to that living entity, no matter who it is, including cat, dog, snake, anybody, doesn't matter. But that stage won't happen till before that happens, there is something else has to happen. What is that? Self-realization. Till I know who I am, I'm not going to know who others, what they are. That is the catch. Till I know who I am, what I am. Today, I don't even know what I am. I'm thinking I'm this body. So, is there any wonder that I think everyone else is their body? And from there started raga, dvesham, everything. So, Krishna's point is this. First, realize yourself what you are. when you have not realized yourself what you are, there is no question of seeing Krishna anywhere else. That's not going to happen. This is that principle behind it. That before we see Krishna's presence artificially, you can try. Every time I see you all, oh, that's Krishna's coming in this form. I can say all that. But I won't see you because my ragadvesham inside will tell me it's not, it's only for the moment. As soon as I have a different experience with someone, I'll forget all that. That is Krishna's another manifestation. Why it's not happening? Because I am thinking myself, I am this body. I have not realized what I am. So, see how big the trap we have fallen into. Now, this is in Shastram, this is called Vigalpam. The first Vigalpam is what? The basic Vigalpam with which we have started this life is, I am this body. This is the first Vigalpam. From that Vigalpam came all other Vigalpam. That's why it's called Vigalpam. And that is the product of the mind. Product of the mind. Sangalpa Vigalpam Manaha. That is, Satabodham says like this. Sangalpam and Vigalpam, that's the job of the mind. So this mind has created this illusion in us, I am this body first. And I am trying to break away from that. You're all trying to break away from that, but it's a very hard thing. And till that is sorted, you're not going to see Krishna's presence in other living entities. That's not possible. That's what Shastram is saying. So you can see how difficult it is. Self-realization is so important that unless we realize that truth, what we are, we will not be able to relate with this world. This world has come from the mind inside, isn't it? Once you have no mind inside, this world doesn't exist after that. So that's why self-realization and seeing Krishna's presence in other living entities are connected like this. They are together. If this happens, self-realization happens, if I have realized who I am, what I am, then without any effort, Shastra says, you will see Krishna in all other living entities. That is the beauty of that. If you realize yourself what you are, without any other external extra effort, naturally your realization of others will be as Krishna's expansions. Krishna's expansions. This is how that thing happen. So, here also he says here, na dveshti na ramade na ulsahi bhavade. Ulsahi bhavade means that realization has come to him, he will not be working in that direction for any other benefit in this world. And later on we also saw this famous verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the Pingala Gita. Pingala sang a song, isn't it? When Pingala story you know, in Ekadasa Skandam, you know Pingala's story. Sandam sami veeramanam radi pradam vitta pradam nityamimam vihaya akamadam dukkhamaya dishoga moha pradam tuchamaham bhajetnyaha. It's a very famous verse. Why it's so famous? It is famous because Krishna's mercy, how it flows, very difficult to say. In 1 second, Pingala became self-realized. Can you imagine that? She was engaged in this very bad life, isn't it? She was a prostitute. Pingala was a prostitute. And she was engaged in serving so many people. And in that state, she spent many, many years. And one fine morning, due to the association with Dattatreya Maharshi, she came to she had a change of heart. Just see the power of association. One evening, Dattatreya Maharshi, I mentioned this story many times. Dattatreya Maharshi was walking through Mithila. Pingala had her big palace and Pingala lived there waiting for entertaining her customers. And Dattatreya Maharshi came walking that way. Pingala allowed Dattatreya Maharshi to stay overnight outside her house. She cleaned the bench for him, seeing he's as a sadhu, let him sleep there, thought. So sadhu slept there. And Pingala asked the question, when will you leave? Because when she gave the place, that was the condition. He will not stay, he will not claim for the land, the place later. So he says to Dattatreya, when will you leave? Dattatreya's answer is very interesting. When it gets bright, I will leave. Those words are very significant. When he said, when it gets bright, what it means is that when you become illuminated inside, I will leave. That's what he meant. She thought when it becomes the morning, he will go. That's how that understanding was. Anyway, next day morning, Dattatreya was gone. But by then, Pingala had that change of heart. And Pingala sang this famous song in the Bhagavatam known as Pingala Gita. And this verse is from there. That suddenly she started thinking, what a nonsense I am. What a life I have led in my whole life. How unwisely I spend all my life. Sandam samibe ramanam radhi pradam. I have been associating with all these men, looking for their money and looking for happiness. But nobody could make me happy. I could never get any happiness. And due to the Dattatreya Maharshi's mercy, she realized that night, the person who was to give you help and happiness is right inside me. And referring to Ramaji, and I am born in this place where Ramachandra has, Sita Devi was born, Mithila, referring to Mithila. Sita Devi was born in this place, and here I led this life, kind of life, Pingala says there. So, therefore she says, Sandam samibe ramanam radhi pradam vitta pradam nityamimam vihaya. That when that realization has happened to her, that exactly like in the case of Ajamila, remember Ajamila's case? Ajamila was lamenting, isn't it? Ajamila was crying. I wasted all my 88 years life with this prostitute I spent my life. And suddenly one morning, Vishnududas appeared, and due to their association, Ajamila felt there is the higher truth. Krishna's mercy came through this Vishnududas. Ajamila packed the baggage and left home, went to Haridwar, and eventually he called Narayana very loudly. Only once he had to call, not many times. Some people say, oh, he called many. No, he didn't call. He only once. Once a disciple asked Prabhupada, Prabhupada said, no, he didn't call so many. He called only once Narayana. And he was taken back to the spiritual world. So similarly, Pingala also's case was that she had been exposed to this situation. Somehow or the other it happened. Some prarabdha must be there in Pingala's life. But when the mercy came from Krishna in this way, through the Dattatreya Maharshi association, she sings this. Who is there with me all the time? That means, to realize that the super soul, Krishna, is present inside all the time. And he is the only one who is with us forever. All other things, husband, wife, children, and uncle, aunt, all other connections in this world are Maya. It is Maya's connection. Maya has introduced us into this. And we have got victimized by Maya. That's why we feel so strong connection with this world. That's how strong the Maya is. Maya keeps these connections. But the real connection is inside here. Is inside there in Hridayam. Krishna is present there and our connection is there. That realization is not happening to us. Why? That is the power of Maya. That's Maya's power. To make us connected with everything else in this world except that big connection what we have got. But Pingala, when she realized it, she is saying, Sundam samibe ramanam radhi pradam vitta pradam. If I am looking for money, if I am looking for happiness, that is where I should be going to, not to all these places. Akamadam dukkhamaya adishogam. First thing, when you come to contact with that presence, Krishna's presence inside, when you come to contact with that, what happens is, akamadam, all desires go. Desires are coming because of contact with Maya. Desires go when you come to contact with Krishna. So, Pingala realized this. She says, akamadam, dukkha bhayadi shoga moha pradam, tuchamaham bhajetnya. That if I keep my contact with the external world, with all the happiness what I'm looking for in this world, all I'm getting from that is dukkham, bhayam. Dukkha means distress, bhayam means fear, adi means depression, and shogam. Shogam means lamentation, moham, all kinds of illusions. That is what I have got from the world outside. So in other words, perfect vairagyam has come to Pingala. Perfect vairagyam. No interest at all anymore in this world. Completely given up from this, to expectations from this world. No more expectations. Just like Parikshit Maharaj came to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. You saw Parikshit's mood at that time. It is easy to leave a one-bedroom flat or a two-bedroom cottage and go. But it is very difficult to leave a whole planet which he was ruling at that time and to walk away from that palace, what he had. The comforts he had, only he had to order, everything was provided. isn't it? Parikshit's position was like that. He was and walked away from that looking for self-realization. So imagine how deep that realization is in Parikshit's heart. Such realization, that is why Parikshit is addressed as the best listener of Srimad Bhagavatam. Why? He came with this mood of renunciation inside. Similarly, in Bhagavatam you will see every great soul, when they become self-realized, you will see their mood. If you observe, you will see they have rejected this world completely. No more connection with this world. So Pingala also said, Tucham aham bhajetnya. How tucham? Tucham means how insignificant all this is, this world is. Why? A short period of time we have been given in this world to live, in this body. And in this body, all kind of atrocities we commit here to make it permanent here. But nobody can stay here. We have to go. So Pingala, the earlier we realize, the better. But many cases they don't realize, even when they have to die, they are still thinking, we can come back here and continue the empire, what they have built. So Pingala says here, Tucham aham bhajetnya, saying this, just to say Pingala says that personality who is living inside, who is responsible for the liberation, and who gives all happiness, and I left him. And I went after this, all other people who are only given me distress and nothing else. Viharamya munaiva aham almana ramanena vai. And she says there, Viharamya munaiva aham almana ramanena vai. I am going to leave this now and I am going to enjoy with that person who is my soul. That's how she puts it. In other words, she says, from now on, I am going to experience spiritual happiness. No more material happiness. That's the word she is saying. For me, material happiness is over now. From now on, there's only spiritual happiness. It is her words in the Bhagavatam. Viharamya munai vaham atmana ramanena vai. Atmana ramanena vai. Only enjoyment, enjoying the soul, in the presence of the soul. And a person who is absorbed in the soul, for him, he has no happiness in the sense objects. He has no happiness in the sense objects. That is the important message from Pingala. So, a devotee, he does not work for his own profit, swartham. Swartham is not a devotee's word. And effort is required either for achieving something in this world or for solving some problem, which is unhappiness in this world. But that Krishna has taken over. That we discussed last time, in the last class, if you remember. That the yogakshayamam mahamyaham, Krishna says. One who has surrendered to Krishna completely, Krishna has this all the responsibility. It's not our headache anymore. To looking after a devotee's life is completely in Krishna's control. Because we have not surrendered, we have this difficulty all the time. We ask this question. Will Krishna send me the food? Will Krishna send me the cereal? Will Krishna send me the car? Will Krishna send me the house to stay? We ask all these questions. Yes, Krishna will only send when we have surrendered. But when you are not surrendered, we have no right to ask for it. Because this separate existence from Krishna and to enjoy is a big problem within everybody, isn't it? We want Krishna to do what we want, nothing is right for us, but Krishna's plan is different. So that's why it's like that. Chaumam, and who answered this? Same Dattatreya Maharshi, when he was lying down on the banks of the river Kaveri, that's where you find this conversation between Prahlada and Dattatreya. Dattatreya said to Prahlada like this, Chaumam dugulamajinam chiram valkalame vava vasenya adavisambraptam dishtabhoktushtadhiraham. If you look into the seventh canto, you will see this verse there. Chaumam dugulamajinam chiram valkalame vava. The Tathagata Maharshi was asked by Prahlada, why are you so happy? You have no food arranged for you. Nobody is supplying your food. He doesn't know where the food is going to come next meal. He had no clothes also. He was lying down in the riverbank, on Kaveri riverbank. He was lying down on the sand. Completely naked, Dattatreya Maharshi, completely naked. No food, no clothes, no house, nothing, no shelter, and nobody else with him, alone, is lying there. And he was in extreme blissful state when Prahlada saw him. Prahlada was wandering around all over. and he met the Tatraya Maharshi. That story is there in the 7th canto. So there, that conversation, if you read, you will see the Tatraya Maharshi is saying to Prahlada, I'm happy. Why? He says, I'm satisfied with what I've got. He hasn't got anything, but he's satisfied. What to do? We have got, a lot of people have got a lot of things, but they are satisfied. They are always beggar. But here, he has nothing and he is satisfied totally. He says, whatever I get, what about clothes? Prahlada says, can I give you some clothes? He says, if anything I find in the road, I'll wear it. That is his way. Anything if I find on the road or street. Exactly what Sudeva Goswami says in the 2nd canto. If you remember, that there is a verse there. Kasmat bhajandi kavayodhana durmathandha. That Sudeva Goswami is taking to Parit, talking to Parikshit, says to him, why these people are working so hard? He's asking this question. Kasmat bhajandi kavayodhana durmathandha. Sudeva Goswami doesn't like us going after people, collecting money from them for anything. That's not what he likes. That's not his nature. He thinks that if you are a real devotee, you will be looked after by Krishna. He believes in that very strongly, and that's how he lived all his life. And he also expects the same thing from devotees. Therefore he says, Kasmat bhajandi, why do you worship all these rich men in this world? Kasmat bhajandi kavayo dhana durmadhanda. Because these wealthy people, they got so much money and they are so proud about it. And you are going after them to live in this world, that means you have no faith in Krishna. This is his conclusion. Kasmat bhajandi kavayo dhana durmadhanda. Saying that in the 2nd canto, Sudeva Goswami gets excited when he talks these verses to Prahlada. And he's saying here that the Prahlada, when he met this Avadhuta, the Tatraya Maharshi, is also repeating exactly what Sudeva Goswami has said in the 2nd canto. It's a repetition of saying. So that's why he gets a lot of pleasure when he says all this. He says, I'm satisfied with what I got. If I find cloth, I'll wear it. If I find some bark of a tree, I'll use it as my cloth. And if I get some deer skin or anything in the forest, I'll use that as my cloth. And I use that. And if I, sometimes somebody invites me and gives me some food, I'll eat it. Some days I never get any food. And sometimes I have a big feast, he says. The Tatraya Maharshi is saying like that. So different times, according to my prarabdham, it comes and I accept it. I don't go after them, but it comes to me. That's his point. So according to prarabdham, I accept it. And with that, I'm happy, he says. I'm waiting for this body to go and I leave this world, he says. So, this is spiritual life. Spiritual life is not getting everything in this world and making life much more comfortable than what we have. Spiritual life is to understand that we are free from this body. And how will we get free from this body? Unless we approach this body in the same way like these sages have done. So he had only to say this, Chaumam dukulam ajinam chiram valkalam evava vase nyadavisam praptam dishtabuk tushtadhiraham. Dishtabuk tushtadhiraham. Dishtabuk means, I'll get, eat what I've given. And tushtadhiraham, I'm satisfied with that, he says. If you read in the Bhagavadam, there's more verses about, sometimes people come and give me food, he says. Sometimes there may not be enough. They will give me a little bit, what is left over. Sometimes the food is old, what they have given to me. Sometimes they will tell me, oh, you are a great devotee, come with us, we are going to give you a feast at our house. So I'll go there. Sometimes they carry me in palanquin, taking me there for the feast. But in all these times, I'm fully aware I'm not this body. Body is going, I'm not anything to do with it. So that much separation from the soul and the body, realization is inside in the Tatraya Maharshi's case. Such a personality will not be affected by material world. He won't be affected by material world. He has no distress and he does not complain about anyone. No desire for sense enjoyment either. And he is always Atmaradi. Atmaradi. This is an important word. You have to study Bhagavad Gita to know these technicalities of this word. We discussed one important verse there. In the Bhagavad Gita, if you look, Krishna uses that word at a particular point. Yastva almaridirevasya almadruptascha manava. If you remember that verse, I think it is in the 3rd or 4th chapter, you will see. Yastva almaridirevasya almadruptascha manava. Tasya karyam na vidyade. If you look into Bhagavad Gita, you will see that. When Krishna is saying that, in the Krishna is saying that, Bhagavad Gita there.
I have to. Tell
you. Yeah, I got it. If you look at the chapter, yes, Atmaradirevasya Atmatruttascha Manava. This is why I am saying that it's important to have Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam all with you. When I say this, you can immediately connect with that. So, yes, Atmaradirevasya Atmatruttascha Manava. One second. Yes, Atmaradirevasya. That is. Third chapter, verse 17. Third chapter, verse 17. Krishna says there, Yastha Atmaradirevasya Atmatruptascha Manava. Atmaradi. That's what Krishna is giving importance to in the third chapter. Yastha Atmaradirevasya Atmatruptascha Manava. Atmanyev Atmanatushtatasya Gairyam na Vidyade. He says, let's have a look. Yeah. Atmanyeva eva santushta tasya karyam na vidyade. That's the verse. I'll read the translation. One who is, however, taking pleasure in the self, who is illumined in the self, who rejoices in and is satisfied with the self only, fully satiated, for him there is no duty. For him there is no duty. So, yastha atmaradirevasya atmatruptascha manava. Atmanyo eva santushta tasya karyam na vidyade. He has nothing else to perform. So this is that state what we are discussing here. That in the case of our Dattatreya Maharshi, he has reached that state, and that is the clear example. He says, I am always happy, Atmaradi, inside. The pleasure of the soul, the blissfulness nature of the soul. When one is experiencing that, then what is this body? What is eating? What is sleeping? All these things automatically leaves you. It's no more demanding anymore. Now our whole attention is on these few things, isn't it? Eating, sleeping, shelter, clothes, all these kind of things. Why? Because of that deep vikalpam inside, ignorance inside, I am this body. I'm unable to come out of it. Why? Attachment to this body is so strong. Why did this happen? Because in so many lifetimes, I lived like this. I'm thinking, I'm this body. I was never anything different than the body. I got this body now, I'm attached to this body. As soon as I leave this body, the next body will be ready. I get into that body and I start accepting that I am that body. Then I'll spend 50, 60 years in that body and then I leave that body one day. So, it is not easy to come out of this, because in so many lifetimes, this is all what I have learned, to think that I am this body. So that's why it is said like this, Atmaradi. If you remember, we discussed this in the third chapter. Yastha Atmaradirevasya Atmatruptascha Manava Atmanyeva Sandushta Tasya Karyam Na Vidyade. Krishna is very emphatic about that. One who has come to that state of Atmaradi, Atma Sandushti, or the blissful nature of the soul, if it is experienced, Krishna is saying, Tasya Karyam Na Vidyade. For him, there is no more further to go anywhere. Already he has got it. So what else he has to do anymore? That's his question. After saying that, we go into the... And then, if ever they are doing something in this world, it will be only for the benefit of this world. For others' benefit, they will act in this world. We talked all this through in the Bhagavad Gita classes, so I will not go back to it again, because we haven't got so much time. Now, after this, Narada Bhakti Sutram says that what will happen to such a person? How will he behave in this world? A person who has started experiencing Atmaradi, or the blissful nature of the soul, how will he behave in this world? That is the next question. To answer that, Srinarada Maharshi says here, Yajnatva matto bhavadi, stabdho bhavadi, atma ramo bhavadi. In three words, he completed the whole thing statement. Yajnatva matto bhavadi, stabdho bhavadi, atma ramo bhavadi. A person who has experienced the realized self, or known the soul is realized, and he started experiencing the blissful nature of the soul, that person, after that, jnatva matto bhavadi, he'll be very intoxicated, his nature. He'll be very intoxicated. When intoxicated in the sense that a drunkard, he is also intoxicated, isn't it? One who is drunk, he is intoxicated. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in two different places, a self-realized soul and a person who is drunk is compared. Is it not? We think every person who is drunk is, we think of him very bad, isn't it? But it's not always true, because from there is something to learn. Even from that person who is drunk, we have something to learn from him in our spiritual life. Why? Because Bhagavatam says like this, when a person is drunk, his identification with the body is not there, isn't it? He is under the control of another knowledge. He doesn't think too much about his body. You can see this sometimes, people walking back from the pub, they'll fall about 10-12 times on the way before they get home. But they're not hurt. They're not hurt. Have you noticed that? They won't bruise or even a break. Why? Because bodily concept wasn't there. They fall, they'll get up. They lose the clothes, they'll pick it up. They'll shout a lot, they'll forget all that by the time they get there, what they've shouted. This is all very familiar scenes, isn't it? We all know this. But Sudeva Goswami wanted to tell us, Deho bideva vashakam galugar mayaval, that when you leave this body also, when the connection is broken with the body, it will be like that. But the difference is, you get that, in case of a drunk person, it is misery after that, when he comes back from that to the state of wakefulness. Isn't it? Proper wakefulness. So, in order to, when you come out of the bodily identity, he says, we are practically in that state of the person who is drunk. Your behavior will be like that. That's why the words used here, yet yatva, as soon as you realize the truth, the self, what the self is, realize of the one's own identity, what I am, matto bhavati, I become intoxicated with that. The moment you realize I am not this body, you don't know how much enjoyment is in waiting there. Because this whole life, you are crying how to look after this body. Isn't it? And all arrangements are made to look after this body and so many other bodies as well, which is connected with this body. And one day, when you realize that I am not this body, it is such a big relief. And that time, the enjoyment is so much that you get as though you are a drunk person. So drinking is also for enjoyment only, isn't it? You want to have some fun and you have to some pleasure out of it. So Sudeva Goswami, Narada Maharshi is saying here, matto bhavadi. At that point, you'll be like a drunk person when you are self-realized. Atma Rama, state is like that. That, see, this body, why we care so much for this body? Because the society has imposed so many rules on us. You have to dress up in a particular way, and you have to live in a particular way in this world, and you have to eat certain things, you have to sleep at certain times, and you have to follow certain norms of this world. And then if you have a family, you have to worry about other family members, relatives, friends, recognition in the society, all sorts of rules and regulations what the society has imposed upon us. We accept that. And therefore, body is important for us at the moment. When we realize that I am not at all thing to do with this body, it is something which has been forced upon me, I am something different than all this body, it's such a big relief it is. Such a big relief it is. That's why they are saying here, yajñātvā mato bhavati. You feel as though you had a good drink that night when you realize the self. That you have drunk, got drunk, that feeling of happiness that you experience even more than that is when you get self-realized. Mato bhavati. And what else happened? Stabdho bhavati. That you are shocked. Is this the body I was caring for all my life? Or is this the body I have been trying to identify with? How foolish and stupid I am. Such a feeling of guilt comes at that point within oneself. That's what, these are all the results of self-realization. Because now we are thinking, oh, I'm quite happy in my lovely job and lovely home and lovely wife and lovely children and everything lovely, so lovely that it's going on in this illusion, it's going on day after day. But spiritual life is telling us that once we realize the self, all your so-called lovely affairs of this world will come to a dead stop one day. It's finished with that. So therefore, many people are frightened to come to spiritual life because they don't want to lose their lovely happiness of this world. That's also there. But that happiness, what will come from the body, from the society, from the family, from the job, from the money, everything is finished with this body. Finished with this body. It may be there, may not be there. That will come according to Prarabdham. That is Prahlada's instruction. Prarabdham will bring it to you. Whether you work hard or not, it will come. Whatever happiness you are entitled, you will get it. You don't have to be so concerned thinking that this is the only way, only due to my work. That is Ahankara. Krishna says there in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam, isn't it? That Ahankara Vimudhatma Kartaha Vidimanyade in the Bhagavad Gita. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam it says there that aham sarva vimudhalma kartasmidi nibhadyade. That is the words in the Kabilam. In Kabila Maharshi is teaching, that is how it's put. Same point, little difference in the words, that's all. So there you can see. So this is all, so identification with the body is nothing but jiva ahanda, living entities conditioning. And the false ego grows, keep growing. That's all the result of this activities of this world. So therefore, once we come to spiritual life, we can't afford to anymore allow that false ego to grow. We have to put a brake to it. And that is why at some point in time, we have to learn where to withdraw from this world. Somehow or the other, due to some prarabdham, we have got involved, caught up in all this mess in this world. But again and again, sages are warning us, don't try to look for happiness in the situation like that. It's not possible. Unless you come back, once you come to spiritual life, any plan making or future happiness of this world, one has to put a dead stop to that. That no more you can't give importance to it anymore. And that seriousness is what is called mumukshatvam. Mumukshatvam is this, that able to give up that importance to the material life, and able to give that importance to the spiritual life. That is mumukshatvam. So, you remember, durlabham trayamevedat devanugraha hedugam manushyatvam mumukshatvam mahapurusha samshayam. Ajarya Swamiji says in the Viveka Chudamani this, that manushyatvam, human body, Krishna has given us this for this purpose. And along with that, he says, mumukshatvam. Mumukshatvam means this, able to come out of this material entanglement, walk out from that and develop this in the direction of the spiritual life. He gives very powerful words on that. He says, a person wants to go to the western direction, but at the same time he walks towards the east. He's walking towards the east and he wants to go into the western direction. These two things are not possible together to do it. Either you go to the east or you go to the west. You are wanting to go to the west, but you keep on saying, I'll go to the east. Keep walking to the east. How these things will happen? The same way, material life and the spiritual life, if you try to bring it together and make a plan, it will not work. The only way we can do is how quickly you can withdraw from that material life and come to the spiritual platform completely and take shelter of Krishna's Bhagavadam and Bhagavad Gita. That's the only way it can happen. So he says here, yajnatva mato bhavadi, sabdho bhavadi, alma ramo bhavadi. First happens, he becomes intoxicated with the happiness of self-realization, mato bhavadi. And then what will happen? Sabdho bhavadi. Sabdha means he becomes shocked by the intensity of that realization. And then Almarama Bhavadi, he becomes peaceful. Almarama means he is completely at peace with himself. Then he is not looking for any other association after that. That's why when Prahlada saw Dattatreya Maharshi, he was alone. There was nobody with him. And he was happy. Most of us, we want association, isn't it? A lot of friends and society and social life. That's what makes us happy. We are not happy when we are alone. So therefore, that's what the difference here is. Alma Ramo Bhavadi. He's happy on his own. Now, so Labdhva Prapyam. So you will get an impression here that is this something that has to happen by our effort? No, it's not. These are things which is given to us by Krishna's mercy. Why? Krishna's mercy in that state. So, whatever has happened, Krishna says here, that jnatva. And jnatva means, after reaching that state, that means this Almarama state or Almarati state, what will happen is, Krishna says here, jnanis are also included in the four category, isn't it? Chadurvidha bhajandemam jana sukrati arjuna. Artha, jitnyasu, artharthi, jnani. Four kinds of people. Krishna says they are same. But here there will be a question. So some people will say, bhakti leads to jnanam. Bhakti leads to jnanam. Some people will say, jnanam leads to bhakti. These two statements are there, depending on where you hear this from. Different people have different understanding on this. Jnanam leads to bhakti or bhakti leads to jnanam. There, when it is spoken like that, you have to know this, why it is spoken like that. It is not spoken based on the goal. It is only spoken based on the process. Yeah? Not based on the goal. Based on the goal, it's not spoken. Based on the process, it is spoken. That means bhakti may lead through the process of jnanam, or jnanam will lead through the process of bhakti. Only that much you have to accept it in that way. I think we didn't go very far today. Anyway, we'll stop there. It's, I think, 4 o'clock, isn't it? Yeah, so we'll have a 10 or 15 minutes kirtan. Meanwhile, our Vishnu will arrange for the feast or whatever. You can start working on it. And so Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Glory to Srila Prabhupada.